welcome to the first in the series of the Essential Install magazine podcasts. My name is David Kitchener and I'm the Publishing Director. Our aim with this series is to produce a must-hear series of podcasts to educate, inform and help the installers do their job. During this podcast series, we will be talking to industry people from industry associations, custom install companies, and even the odd distributor or two thrown in for good measure, with a view to ascertain what they can offer the industry, how they see the industry going in these challenging times, and how they got to where they are today. We will also be discussing specific industry topics such as home cinema, calibration, programming, etc., etc., etc. However, I'm joined on this first podcast by Matt Nimmons, the Managing Director of Cedia EMEA. Welcome, Matt.
Hi, David. Thank you very much. And thanks for inviting me on the first EI podcast. Feel very honoured. Thank you.
Well, I must confess, Matt, every time we get together these days, we tend to talk football. And as most of you will know, Matt, of course, is a Manchester United supporter, but we're trying not to hold that against him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a Tottenham supporter, as most of you know, and of course, at the moment, I'm really pleased with what Mourinho's doing for us. We seem to be top of the league. I just thought I'd throw that one in, and it might be edited out, but hey ho. How's Ollie doing for you, Matt?
Bit hesitant with my response, I think. I think overall, being a United legend, obviously, we've got a soft spot for Ollie, but I'm not sure whether he will be the long-term solution for Manchester United. I've been quite happy how he's quietly gone about his business. I think particularly the signing of Bruno, I think, you know, the Premier League has enjoyed having him there. And certainly United have benefited. I think without him, we may have been struggling more than we have been in recent weeks and months.
Seems to be up and down, doesn't it, with United these days? You have a great win and you have a great loss. It's quite strange.
Yeah, it does seem to be that way. And I think the home advantage that used to be at Old Trafford, the theatre of dreams that it's affectionately known as, we seem to have lost that magic at home. And I'm not sure whether the pandemic hasn't helped generally live events and live sport, because without that crowd there to get behind the teams, I think it's been quite a challenge. And I think home advantage nowadays doesn't really come into play.
I have to say I've known Matt for a number of years, and how many years have you actually been at Cedia, Matt? Quite some time these days, isn't it?
Yeah, it has been a while, actually. It's very easy for me to remember. I've got three boys, and my eldest, who is 15, was born in September 2005, and I actually joined Cedia the month after that. So I joined Cedia back in October 2005. So, yeah, I've been with the association now for 15 years.
Part of the furniture then, obviously.
Well, it feels that way. It's at times, definitely, yeah.
When I joined the industry some 12 years ago, back then the industry seemed to concern itself with high-end installs. And I think at the time Matt Cedia reflected that. Would you agree on that? Or
I think it's fair to say that back then, or certainly in the early days, we certainly represented the more luxury end of the market. However, I would say that that's probably not true today, really. Our membership does represent a much broader business type, and the level of installations at varying price points. They're not just at that uber luxury end. And with the whole commoditization of products and the growth of IoT, there's certainly a lot more solutions out there at many different price points.
No, it's a good thing. I mean, at Essential Install back then, we would always argue that there is a Middle England, and of course that not all installs are £500,000 or £1 million. But as you rightly say, it's good to see that Cedia are catering for the entire spectrum these days. And I can only think, you know, that's great for the industry, because we clearly want the industry to grow. If it grows, we all grow.
Oh, definitely. And back in around 2010, we probably only had about 150 installer members, so integration businesses. And today, you know, we are through 500, nearly up to 550. And that's just in the UK. Obviously, from this office in St. Neots in Cambridgeshire, we do represent the EMEA region. But if we just specifically to the audience, probably of a lot of people listening to this podcast, within the UK market, yeah, we now have over 500 members across the UK. So I think that's reflective of the growth of the market and, you know, new businesses that are entering it.
Yes, long may it rain. now we know that Spurs are top of the league, let's start talking about Cedia, shall we?
Let's do that.
Amongst other things, of course, the new initiatives, I understand, in the ever-increasing Cedia certification pool. And the first one to mention, which I was quite interested in, is the new Cabling and Infrastructure Technician exam, or CIT for short. Tell us more about that, Matt. Who should take the CIT exam?
Yeah, well, we've only recently introduced this new certification. As you say, it's abbreviated to CIT, which stands for the Cabling and Infrastructure Technician Certification. Essentially, it's an ideal credential for those that are newcomers coming into the industry or for existing businesses that are hiring new staff. It's very much our foundational certification. It's kind of a baseline certification, and it will form a prerequisite for our more advanced certifications as we build on those. So therefore, it really will become sort of the must-have certification in the industry. And at the moment, we are actually beta testing the certification. Many people probably are unaware that Cedia is actually going through a process at the moment to actually elevate our certification and to make it an ISO accredited certification. And
really?
Yeah, and for our American friends that may be listening in as well, it will become an ANSI accreditation as well. So we really, really want to elevate the professionalism of the channel and the market. And by doing that, getting this externally accredited with a body such as ISO will really give more value and credence to the qualification. So part of that process is that we have to go to the market with a beta exam. So this is available up until the 31st of December. We introduced it back in November. I'm really pleased to say that we've had nearly 100 people in the UK that have signed up to take this exam. And really, we're encouraging existing technicians that have kind of a 1 to 2 years maybe industry experience to get involved and take this beta. But we're also encouraging the more experienced businesses out there that already have maybe certified technicians on staff, but they're in a real great position to provide us with valuable feedback. And as part of that, the beta process is every question that's asked, there's a comment box by the side of it. So if the question didn't make sense, if it was a bit ambiguous, if it perhaps was not very regional, it was kind of, you know, very American focused. We're really seeking as much feedback as possible so that when we launch and move forward with the certification next year, it's exactly what the industry is looking for.
I think it's important making it easy for these guys and gals to take these exams. You mentioned the other day when we spoke, which I found quite interesting, that you've got examination centres all over the country, so they don't necessarily have to travel miles and miles to take the exam. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct, David. Yeah, there's a couple of ways now in which people can sit the certification. I mean, historically, we would have hosted the certification in our training facility. They would have had to come to Cambridgeshire. And of course, if they're, you know, down there where you are in Kent, David, you know, that's a 2 or 3 hour drive. Sometimes that's not always convenient. So we partnered with a business called Criterion, which has, they're not just national testing centres, they actually are a global organisation. So I'm sure you have some listeners that will be across Europe and maybe further afield. These centres are literally all over the world. So it really allows the student to go to their local testing centre to take this exam. Also worth noting that obviously at the moment with the various lockdowns, and you know, David, you're in tier three at the moment down there in Kent.
Unfortunately, but hey ho.
Yes, I'm actually in the pub at the moment having a Scotch egg. Just on the podcast.
A substantial meal then.
Of course, yes. Well, I'm having two of them, so, you know, it's kind of breakfast as well. But via Criterion, you can also do what they call remote online proctoring. So you can actually take the exam from your business or from your home office. You have to have a camera and various things set up so that there is somebody on the other end that is actually watching you physically take the exam to ensure that people essentially are not cheating, reading a book, browsing the internet. So it's quite a robust process that people have to go through. And the price to take the exam is, we've priced it at very much an affordable level. It's £38. You know, CD is not looking to make money out of this. This is really to ensure that we get the right exam to, and bring it to market.
That's good to hear, Matt, being a non-profitable organisation.
Yeah, and also worth noting, it's just a flat fee, whether you're a member or not a member. This is an industry examination. This is not something that we're just trying to cater for the CEDIA membership. It's actually for the entire industry. So the exam's about 3 hours in length. That's the sort of time span we recommend. And there are actually 180 multiple choice questions. Now, you know, so it's quite involved. It's not something that should be taken lightly. But just to reassure people, when the exam goes live proper, it will be a 2 hour examination with 120 questions. So at this beta stage, we are really trying to put all of the questions in our pool across the people to get that feedback so we can hone the examination down to make sure it's spot on.
You mentioned going live proper. When do you anticipate that might be?
Well, the process is that after the 31st of December, obviously all of the exams that have been taken, they'll be processed, all the comments and feedback will be taken on board. And I haven't actually got a firm date in mind, but I would imagine, you know, by kind of spring, or maybe sooner than that, you know, the exam. But just to reassure people, anybody that sits the beta exam and passes it will come out with a credential at the end. So it's not a wasted kind of process that you're going through. Once the pass mark is agreed, typically it's around 70 to 75%. Anybody that has achieved that will still get the credential, will still get the certification. So it's not lost in from that point of view.
Interesting. And how does one go about getting in touch with these? Do they apply through your website, the CEDIA website, or how do they?
Yes.
How do they get involved?
Well, there's a couple of ways, really. I guess is primarily you can go to the CEDIA website, which is CEDIA.net, and if you simply put /certification, that will then take you to the landing page on our website that talks about all of our certifications, and you'll see within that landing page that there is a tab which says cabling infrastructure technician. Simply click that and then follow the instructions accordingly.
On the CIT exam, Matt, how do people actually prepare for the exam?
It's a good question, David. We've actually got a number of different ways in which people can prepare for the exam. We have a free practice examination which is available on the website that basically individuals can use to analyze their current knowledge to give them an idea of their kind of readiness to take the examination. And the results of the test are given live, so you can actually, you know, find out the results immediately. And actually you can, there is a facility functionality, should I say, that enables you to kind of turn on and off the answers as you go through each question, so you can see actually question by question how you get on. So that's completely free of charge. We recently launched our CEDIA Academy during the pandemic back in June, which is basically our online training platform. And there you can find an actual pathway specifically dedicated to the cabling and infrastructure technician program. So that supports technicians on their journey to becoming CEDIA certified. And it really teaches them the foundational knowledge that's required to become a cabling and infrastructure technician. It's entirely online, and the beauty of having it online today is it's self-paced. Students can work on it remotely, they can work on it in their businesses, but more importantly nowadays, many of us are working from our homes. So it really is very flexible. And then thirdly, some of you may have seen through our social posts that we've actually produced a book, a textbook, a 350 page textbook that really serves as a comprehensive body of knowledge covering all the tasks and necessary skills that's required of a cabling and infrastructure technician. So again, some students are using that to prepare for the exam. Again, all of these can be accessed and purchased through the website. So I feel we have a very robust approach to this that will enable both existing members to take advantage, but more importantly, as you rightly said earlier, David, that a growing industry is great for Cedia as much as it is for a publication like Essential Install. The more businesses that we've got entering the market, the more professionalism, that can only be a good thing for our manufacturers, for our distributors, and the various channel partners.
Well, as I've said before, as I keep hearing myself say, the more we grow the industry, then we all grow together. And that's what that's what you and I are there for, really. I mean, you as a catalyst as an association, us as a catalyst from Essential Install magazine. So, yeah, quite interesting.
Essential Install magazine is the leading title for the smart home, AV and home cinema markets. Packed monthly with news, views, features, products and case studies, it's a must read for any integration company looking to source new products and increase their profits. If you'd prefer to get your smart home and high quality AV news online, then get along to essentialinstall.com. Updated daily with news, product releases and case studies. Essential Install is the last word in smart home, AV and home cinema coverage. Don't miss out. Stay up to date with Essential Install in print and online.
I mentioned earlier two new initiatives I wanted to talk to Matt about. The other one, of course, is the Smart Home Technician Apprenticeship. I think apprenticeships are a great thing. I think it's getting more people in our industry. When I first came in the industry, everybody was a custom installer, and to a certain extent, of course, they are custom installers now. But what is a custom installer? As I've argued for years, it's meaningless. It could be a kitchen installer. But nowadays, of course, I'm hoping everybody's calling themselves smart home technicians. Tell us about the apprenticeship, Matt.
Yeah, I think the industry is aware that Cedia has been working towards creating an apprenticeship standard. In our communications over the last 12 months, we've mentioned or stated that the apprenticeship standard has now been approved. But essentially, we have created an apprenticeship program for our industry due to the demand for more skilled labour, really, essentially, you know, a growing workforce coming into the market. So we've established what's called the Smart Home Technician Apprenticeship to bring new people into this sector. I mean, typically, the choices that they used to be was that you could go down the route of being an electrical apprenticeship or an IT apprenticeship, but the kind of two coming together and including the AV component didn't exist. So the journey started about 3 years ago, whereby we...
So just to stop you there, are you encouraging, therefore, electricians and electrical contractors to come into this market and take the smart home technician course?
Well, we've already been communicating to that audience over the last few years. There is definitely a growing army of electricians that are considering upskilling their businesses to come into the smart home space, the custom install industry. So yeah, we've already seen that through our own training facility here in St Neots. But essentially, the apprenticeship was set up and is aimed for individuals, you know, who are, you know, after a career in installation and maintenance of home technology ecosystems. I mean, you know, we're trying to elevate awareness really for this marketplace and the sector, and you know. We formed a group of industry employers and partner associations to define the framework for what this new apprenticeship program would look like. You know, and essentially, the goal was to create an apprenticeship that will directly serve the needs of our industry. And most importantly, I think at this time, is really to inspire young people to consider a career in automation and smart homes. You and I live and breathe it every day, David. You know, we understand it, we get it. But my teenage boys are probably unaware that there is a, you know, a fantastic career opportunity in this market. So having a an apprenticeship approved smart home program will hopefully draw more people into the market and support businesses that are already existing that are looking to take on new staff.
So who knows, your two boys might become smart home technicians in the future.
May well do. Well, three boys. I could have a
three boys. What's the duration of the course, Matt?
We Cedia helped support the framework and the standard, but actually the delivery of the apprenticeship is not delivered by the association at Cedia. It's actually delivered by a training provider, an external training provider. So the actual apprenticeship will be around 18 to 24 months in duration. And the student will then go through an endpoint assessment at the end to test their knowledge and their skills and their competency, and then they'll be given the final results.
What qualifications, Matt? In terms of qualifications, what qualifications are needed to be able to take the course?
Well, like a lot of apprenticeships that are out there, I mean, the candidates must have achieved GCSE level, I think C and above, in English and maths prior to actually sitting the endpoint assessment. I think that's the only criteria. So, you know, it really is open to anybody and everybody that is really, you know, seeking to come into this space.
And in terms of review, is there a review date for the apprentice?
I mean, the standard itself, the framework, and this is not something that we stipulate. This is the Institute of Apprenticeships, a government kind of led department. Every 3 years, a standard is reviewed. Very similar to how we operate with our own certifications. We do review them on an ongoing basis, especially in the space that we're in. Technology changes, you know, we need to keep on top of that. So yeah, essentially every 3 years, the apprentice standard will be reviewed just to ensure that the knowledge and behaviours remain relevant to the market.
Okay, the smart home technician apprenticeship, Matt. If I'm an employer and want to employ someone on this particular apprenticeship, how do I go about that? Who do I talk to?
Okay, David. Yeah, thanks for that. That's a good question. And I'm pleased to say that there is currently a registered training provider that is looking to take on the smart home technician apprenticeship program. They're a company called Skills for STEM. But what your listeners, the easiest thing for your listeners to do really is probably if you go to cedia.net/apprenticeship, we have a page there that will direct you essentially to the government site where you can put in a postcode and then it brings up the details of this particular training provider. And we know that they're looking to pull together a cohort of students to start the first program, I think as early as spring 2021. And I know they've already got five or six people that are interested or either registered to be part of it. So, you know, if you are an employer and you're considering this, other things to mention, the government fund this training on behalf of the employer. So there is £9,000 that the government will pay directly to the training provider to support the apprentice through their learning over that 18 to 24 months. And something else that's worth noting is, as an employer, there are some additional government incentives to encourage you, essentially, to take on an apprentice.
And to encourage the employers.
Yes, exactly that, David. And that you can get some grants of up to £3,000. So they're really, you know, the government is, you know, probably more so than ever in the current, you know, landscape of what's going on with the pandemic, and you know, people are in and out of different professions. And I think also it's worth noting that, you know, nowadays student debt is quite a talking point, and you know, a lot of youngsters, as they get up to that sort of 17, 18 year old age and decide as to whether they're going to go to university or college, a more vocational route, going through an apprentice where they actually learn hands-on in the real world environment, as well as having a more classroom based education, and coming out at the end with a qualification and with little debt, is becoming, you know, more and more appealing to people.
It sounds like a win-win. The £9,000 is paid to the training provider to train said apprentice.
Correct.
The employer can claim a subsidy of £3,000. So it doesn't cost, I assume, the apprentice anything? Or what does it cost the apprentice?
Well, the apprentice themselves, they don't have to pay anything. Obviously, as an employer, you will have to still pay them, at minimum, you'd have to pay them the national minimum wage for an apprentice. So you'd have to pay them a wage, and you could obviously choose to pay them more than that if you should wish to do so. But I think the money that the government are doing to incentivise employers is obviously, you know, there may be maybe equipment or clothing that you might want to get for your apprentice, you know, so that could contribute towards that. But essentially, for the young person, there's no cost. But obviously, from the business point of view, you know, there is some obligation to pay them a wage and to look after them during the journey and you know, ensure that they are given the right opportunities to learn within the business as well. You know, the practical as well as the theoretical kind of come together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we as publishers, we were approached by an apprenticeship company who specialise in publishing apprenticeships, which I think for my industry, I'm an old school publisher. I've been in publishing for many, many years. As you know, Matt, I look 25. I'm just a little older. I'd sooner you not comment on that, but that's okay.
I'm just glad it's a podcast and not over Zoom.
But having said that, we have actually taken apprentice on as a publishing apprentice with the magazine, in fact, all of our magazines. And their course is 2 years. So as an employer, we would expect the employee, the apprentice, to stay with the company for 2 years. That's how long the course is. Now, some apprentices then choose to go back to college or university. Other apprentices want to continue with a career in the company that their apprenticeship is with. The apprenticeship that the guys you're working with from the apprenticeship point of view, is it a 2 year course? Do they come out with qualifications after 2 years, or is it shorter, longer?
Yeah, I mean, as I noted, it's around 18 to 24 months. So, you know, between 1.5 to 2 years is the duration. Obviously,
I think that's pretty standard, isn't it? That length.
I think it is. And at the moment, you know, this is an exciting new development, really, for the industry. You know, create fantastic awareness, really, for the market. And, you know, we've been in existence now for just over 30 years. So, you know, for me, this is quite a breakthrough to have an apprenticeship, recognised apprenticeship standard for our industry. I think it's, you know, a real step forward.
I think it's great. And I assume there is no restriction on numbers. You mentioned maybe 5 or 6 have signed up, but I assume if you suddenly had an influx from this podcast, I assume could that be coped with, those kind of numbers?
Yeah, I mean, in our conversations that we've had with this one provider, and just by the way, that this is now out in the open market, so essentially any training provider can pick this up and run with it. The standard was only really ratified and agreed upon, you know, within the last, I think it's maybe the last six to eight months. So the fact is that one provider's picked it up. It's fantastic. They are looking to run probably 2 cohorts of students in 21, probably about a dozen each time. So that's obviously 24 students over the year. But of course, if more training providers come on board and they all take on 12 at a time, you know, all of a sudden, you know, there could be, you know, a lot more people. It really is supply and demand kind of situation. Of course, if the demand is there, then I'm sure more providers will come out of the woodworks and begin to seek to offer the program.
And if the company you're currently talking to get to a kind of limit for them, 10, 12, 15 people, whatever that limit is it up to you to then look for another provider to increase the numbers per se?
Actually, you know, our job is done in some senses. Cedia started the process whereby we facilitated the forming of the group of employers to define the framework for the apprentice. It now it's been approved. It sits on a government site, and any and all training providers can go there and review all of the new apprenticeships and make a commercial decision as to whether they feel there is a need for them to add that to their kind of stable of other apprenticeships. CEDIA really takes a back seat in this. As obviously the industry body, we talk to a lot of people. We obviously have our own channels of communication that we can push out this type of message to ensure that our members and the wider industry are aware of the apprenticeship itself, as well as the providers that are out there. So we won't actively go out and look for new providers. They will automatically come on board as and when they feel fit within their business. But clearly, this particular one, that the first one that's come out of the gate, you know, we are in conversations with them, and we'll do all we can to support them to ensure that it's beneficial to the industry.
Brilliant. I'm all for that. Well, I think that's probably about it, Matt. We've covered a couple of really important initiatives of CEDIA. Maybe we'll do another one or two of these podcasts and talk about further certification. I think that should be where our industry is going. But yeah. Who'd have thought, Matt, 12 years ago when I came to you guys at ISE, and you probably recall this, and said, hey, guess what we're doing? We're launching Essential Install Magazine. And where we are today, here we are, there's me interviewing you on a podcast.
I know, who would have imagined it? I mean, I did some fact-finding. 12 years ago was the last time that Spurs actually won a trophy. The Carling Cup. I mean, if you call that a trophy, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but Matt, I don't live in the past. You see, I live for now.
Yeah.
And where we are now, you know, we are top of the league, and so he wears Man United again somewhere down there, aren't they? Yeah.
I
wouldn't look.
Yeah.
Okay, we've talked a lot about these, Matt. They're very, very interesting initiatives. I think it's great for the industry. Matt, would you like to give us a brief summary, an overview of what we've discussed?
Yeah, thanks, David. Yeah, just I want to say thank you for this opportunity to be on this first podcast and to get across two key initiatives. I mean, there's obviously lots of things that CEDIA is working on all the time, but I think it's really important to get across to the listeners that we're really trying to elevate the professionalism of the market, and through certification, getting accreditation with ISO, we think that's really important. So I'd encourage any listener, you've only got until December the 31st to actually take the CIT beta exam. So, you know, don't delay, perhaps just, you know, over the Christmas period, you might have a few hours spare. So I'd encourage people to look at that. And with the apprenticeship piece, it is quite a complicated, certainly new for a lot of our industry and our members. So if you want to contact the team here at CEDIA, you can either drop an email to our education@cedia.co.uk email address, or give Annetta or Emma in our education team a call. They'd only be too happy to talk you through the various initiatives that we've spoken about. And there's many more things, you know, to talk about. And as you say, David, perhaps another time we can drill down a little bit more about our online academy. There are probably 70 different courses on there now, and that will continue to grow over the next 12 months and beyond. So, yeah, just thanks very much, David. I appreciate the time.
You're welcome, Matt. But we can do some more of these, as long as you don't mention the trophy cabinet again. I'm going to go away head in hands now.
If I'm honest, there's more chance of Spurs winning the league this year than there is Man United. So as long as it's not Liverpool or City.
I'm with you on that one. Okay, well, that just leaves me to say thank you for listening. And let me say thank you to Matt Nimmons for being with us today. Keep your ears open for the next in the series of the Essential Install podcast. Thank you very much. Goodbye and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Essential Install Magazine podcast. Please subscribe to this podcast in your chosen podcast app, so you never miss an episode. Stay up to date with Essential Install in print and online. Visit essentialinstall.com.